Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hey, Tyler. Here's the passion grade picture. On the text line, when the ice cream truck pulled up to training camp.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the
it,
big
right?
reward.
Is that it?
That's it, man. That was the end of training camp, right?
Oh, man.
That was the big reward that Josh McDaniels gave us for, like, 22 fully padded practices. Hey, there's an ice cream truck. What do you guys want? You want a snow cone? They got cherry. Everything's better now that I brought ice cream out here, right?
I remember that pulling up on the field, and some guys got excited.
I mean, look
at some guys were hooting and hollering about it, for sure.
Sort of, yeah. But, I mean, look at how many guys are just, like, standing in the background, not even attempting to get ice cream.
Right, like, what the hell? Because now you got to stand in line.
Right.
Like, it's like,
can I at least get a buffet that I get my, I get this ice cream quickly here?
Right. Now I'm hot, and I'm like a 9-year-old waiting in line for an ice cream.
Thanks, Josh. We all love you now. You did a slip and slide, and you gave us ice cream. Cool.
Mount Palumbis speak. Why don't you guys ever talk about the trend in locks play last year? I lost a lot of money betting the over. Well, that's not our fault. My guess, his stats would look a lot better mistake-wise when compared to Bridgewater during that same period. Okay. Don't butt on that.
Kind of put me on the spot here to have their stats pulled up to be able to compare and contrast. But, Drew Locke got better as the season progressed. He for sure did. The interceptions started to go down, and... he started to play better football. I mean, he still had a handful of interceptions late. That Chargers game, he had two of them, right? The one that was late in the year in December, he had two interceptions there. But
in fairness, that game was more about Jerry Jeudy dropping passes.
Oh, yeah, for sure it was. For sure it was. And he had probably four or five games at the end of the year that you felt like, all right, this is winnable quarterback play here. I haven't watched all of Teddy Bridgewater's film, so I don't know where it's going to go. But the majority of Drew Locke's interceptions did come in the early parts of the season. However, it more or less continued for the entirety of the season. There were only a handful of games where he didn't have an interception, and that's not going to get it done. So I'm not sure what trends he's talking about. What trends is he referring to?
I'm not really sure. I mean, with Drew Locke, the Broncos were in trouble a lot and needed some heroic measures to try to save the day. Sometimes they got him and sometimes they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was massive inconsistency. And in terms of turnovers or taking risks, that happened a lot more with Drew Locke than with Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater had too many interceptions last year also, for the record.
Right.
It's not like Teddy was like Mr. Perfect out there.
Correct.
He had 11 interceptions on the year. That's too much. He only had 15 touchdowns to 11 interceptions.
He got desperate too.
You want it to be at least 2-1 in your touchdown to interception ratio. And if you get that, you probably got pretty dang good quarterback play going on. Drew Locke was almost 1-1. He literally was 1-1 in his touchdown interception. And Teddy Bridgewater wasn't a whole lot better.
Yeah, with things, when they lost Christian, it just messed up the rhythm of everything they did. And they lost him early. And you just get desperate as the season goes on. On the text line, Teddy Bridgewater is the epitome of boring. We don't need another boring Charlie checkdown quarterback. I want a gunslinger quarterback. Locke reminds me a bit of a young Brett Favre. We need a quarterback that's going to get the offense motivated.
Okay. Now, at the risk of giving Mike Evans some credit here, Mike Evans had a good point this morning. What was our biggest beef with Drew Locke last year? Seriously, like outside of the interceptions.
Interceptions?
Yeah. I mean, I know that was the biggest beef.
Yikes. But I don't even know what number two was.
Okay, it was the fact that it was home run or nothing with Drew Locke. He was going downtown or nothing. He was going for 30, 40 yards on the chunk plays. but he bypassed the wide receiver that was wide open for 6 yards, for 7 yards, for 9 yards, whatever it might be. And we're trying to coach that out of him. I remember we talked to Brian Greasy, and Brian Greasy was talking to us about it here on our show and saying, Drew Lock really needs to learn how to just start taking a little bit of profit and stop going for the home runs all the time. Well, Mike Evans this morning was talking about it, and he was saying, I'm tired of hearing everybody talking about check down Charlie and Teddy Bridgewater like that's such a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos do need to start managing the down and distance, and they do need to stay on schedule. It's impossible in the NFL if you go from 1st and 10 to 2nd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go from 1st and 10 to 2nd and 6, from 2nd and 6 to 3rd and 3, whatever it might be. Yeah, you need a little bit more than what Teddy Bridgewater was giving you for the Panthers, and I get that as well. Teddy Bridgewater is boring. I hope that Drew Lock wins the job, because I would rather have a guy that has got the ability to be aggressive, yet he could be safe at the same time. So I'd rather Drew Lock learn Teddy Bridgewater's skill sets than my confidence in Teddy Bridgewater to go out there and win a game for you. But we do need Drew Lock to start being a more safe quarterback.
All right, we got Neil. He's waiting to talk on the phone. A phone call. Hang in there, Neil. We'll get you. There's another guy there, too. And 10,000 text messages. But there's two callers.
Right?
Let's think about how exciting that's going to be. Plus, how is the audiobook going over with the people? Wow. How's that for a tease? Wait till you hear the details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
I'm going to sound like a whiny little jerk now. Where the heck is the audiobook, Richie?
On
the website. Where is it?
Just find it, man.
Podcast.
I found it today.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Is it right? No, it's not right up the front.
I mean, they don't want to put you up that high.
Oh my God.
All the other stuff we put on, like, ESPN and, you know.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm not even on the front page of our podcast. You got to scroll down a little bit.
Well.
And I'm not on the front page, period. Like, there's no link to it on the front page of the entire website.
Did you think you were front page worthy?
Like, how would you? Kind of.
Yeah.
You don't think it's worthy of, like, a link on the very front page? Not even a link, Richie?
I don't think Richie controls the website.
It's not my department.
I'm pretty sure he does not have the ability to make links on the front page or not.
Like, how would you even know? You'd have to just psychically know.
If you want to call up James Merlot right now, you could call him.
Is this a James call?
I would assume so.
Doesn't James, like, run that? Doesn't he make those decisions? Call him up.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even warrant a link on the front page of the entire website? There's not even a link on our page to it. There's not a link on our page to the. You gotta go under.
D-back.
What?
Interest is a very high for you and maybe some loved ones. You know, I was personally very interested. I listened to all 15 minutes and 44 seconds today.
You should get a gold star for just finding it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that hard. There was a link that was out on Twitter. You should feel pretty good about that.
I
clicked the link that was on Twitter.
It. That's cool. And I appreciate that. But if I were just to go to denverfan.com,
it's
like, where's Waldo? Well, I don't know. I just expected it to, you know, a link on the front page is asking too much. It's not even on our own page. All right. I see the priorities here. Okay. But there's some great stuff. Do you have the music to, you know, there's another excerpt from DMACC Relentless Life for Swing Quarterbacks.
I'll tweet it out if you want.
Jim Kelly took ownership of the team in a way that I had never seen before by anybody on any team. It was his team.
Yes.
This was my first experience covering the NFL, and that's what I saw. So as far as I could tell, that's just the way it is. Saw a lot of elements of that type of ownership and leadership in Tim Tebow.
Oh, there you go. Getting to the Tebow stuff. There you go.
But I thought you told me yesterday the guys didn't like Tebow. I'm confused.
They had a very complicated relationship with Tebow. Very complicated.
I listened to the first chapter. In the first chapter, you were telling me how all the guys were hanging out at Jim Kelly's house.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, media members were there. He was the life of the party. Everybody loves them.
Yep.
So what was the direct comparison to Tebow there?
The comparison between Tebow and Jim Kelly was, despite the fact that Tebow wasn't close friends with a lot of guys on the team, there was a sense with Tebow we have a chance to win.
Oh, I'll give you that. I know for a fact. I was on the team in the offseason with Tim Tebow. So when we drafted him, I was on this team. I got released in training camp. I was out in Seattle for the remainder of the year, but I was obviously very, very close with the guys over the next couple of years. And when that magical run happened, I'm texting with the guys, and this is almost verbatim. I can still remember it to this day. Dude, I have no idea how we're winning, but we're doing it, and right. I think we might keep doing it.
Right.
You're right. There was a weird sense of, I don't know how he does it, but we're pulling it off.
Yep. He had that ability.
But at the same time, they were doubting him. So it's very weird. It's very unusual. Like, I've never come across a situation quite like it where the guys are vocally telling me, dude, he can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Right.
Yet somehow we're able to win a football game with him.
It's crazy. And I'll give you a guy who had talent but had the opposite impact on his teammates was Kyle Orton, who had all sorts of throwing talent. But there was no sense that this guy is really going to pull it off. Now, of course, what you want is the great leadership, the talent, and the confidence that we're going to pull it off. And that is a quality John Elway has, Peyton Manning has, Jim Kelly has, the best of the best have, Aaron Rodgers has. I mean, they all have that as well. But when you have quarterbacks that you really just seriously don't believe in, it can have you figure out ways to lose. I'll never forget for the Rockies, Seth Smith years ago would talk about playing right field and they'd be up by a couple runs. And he had a quote where he said, Tyler, I just sit here and think about how we're going to blow it. Because that was the culture at that point. That was happening at that point. And I've seen teams like that too. I think the level of confidence with Trevor Siemian was relatively limited. With Paxton Lynch, it was zero. I'm trying to think of quarterbacks over the years. Jake Plummer, I think, was strong in that department. Cutler was mediocre because he didn't connect with the guys and he didn't really lead them to all that many great wins, even though he had talent.
Yeah, see, Cutler was almost the opposite effect of Tim Tebow, though, where you're right, you didn't really connect with them, but everybody looked at this guy like, holy cow, is he talented.
Yeah.
This guy is a freak. Yeah, we might be able to go win games, even though he didn't care. Cutler and Orton really had very similar personalities, except for one thing. Jay separated himself from the pack, and Kyle was one of the guys. Yeah, Kyle was absolutely a peer. He was a dude that guys gravitated towards. Just neither one of them really had that urgency that like Tim Tebow would have.
Correct. So there you go. That's chapter one.
I'm going to call up James, though. I do think he should be at least on the third page.
Right?
Yeah.
First page is a little bit tough. And the app. It takes like 2 seconds.
We got first pages for breaking news and stuff.
So hold on. Just to be clear, Richie, you don't think after all the work you've done, it shouldn't be more prominent in terms of a link on the front page?
I have no idea what goes into making
it. I didn't ask you that. I did.
Do you think you should have gotten Richie like a gift card to Starbucks or something for all the work that he put into this?
I like
that. He definitely did not get paid or compensated. This was just strict extra material, just extra work.
Mm-hmm. How was that coffee cup? Was it clean?
It was great. Yeah. And I rewarded him with one heck of a compliment.
Let's go to Neil. You're on the fan. Hi, Neil. What's up?
So, quick take on Rodgers. What happens if Packers call Rodgers bluff and say, we're not trading you, and Rodgers decides to not lose the money, goes and plays like crap, and what happens to Rodgers' stock? I mean, is he still trade-worthy? Is he not?
That's a really good question. Thank you, Neil. 2 years ago, not last year when he won the MVP, but 2 years ago, he set a record in the NFL, or at least the stat was most balls like thrown away. Some stat like that. Like, things were not clicking with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 2 years ago, and he wasn't even waiting around for the play to maybe develop. Like, he wasn't taking unnecessary hits. If it wasn't working, it wasn't happening, he just threw the ball away. I forget exactly what the stat was, but it was something along those lines, where he was bailing out on plays quicker than ever. Last year, he hung in there, and, you know.
He was still good, though. Which point? Like, he wasn't playing good football?
If he wanted to just stab the Packers ultimately in the back on the field, he could get away with it, and that's likely the way it would happen.
Yeah, you could do that. I highly doubt that would happen. If I was Green Bay, I would call the bluff. That's exactly what I would do. I would say, you got to pay me back $11.5 million this year if you retire. Next year, you got to pay me another $11.5 million. And you have to forego the $43 million, whatever it is that you were going to make. It's like a net loss of $60-some million dollars that he would lose by retiring over the next couple of years. And if I'm the Packers, I would say, you're playing for us or nobody. But you do have to come into the... Oh, man, the ultimate question is really, what is best for the team at this point? Is it best to call the bluff, or is it best to move on? And that's a tough call.
But take that L on the way out.
I highly doubt if Aaron Rodgers showed up, though, that he would not. I mean, he would go out there and he would try to be an MVP again.
Of course. I don't think it would ever get that far.
He'd be grumpy.
Because he's going to have to make the ultimate decision. Do I sit out and really not want to be with this team, or are we going to move forward? And we both think if he moves forward, it's because there's a new contract done one way or the other. And why would he, if he got a new contract with the Packers that he agreed to, why would he do anything but his best?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It makes more sense 2 years ago, if he really didn't feel great about LaFleur and everything that was going on, that is like, you know, forget this, and I'm not going to get hurt over this because I want to try to get out of there. That being said, the Rockies game is, I think, Richie, is scheduled. I mean, we haven't heard any changes. We know that Fernando Tatis Jr. is out because of COVID reasons. They have a doubleheader tomorrow. Bundle up if you're going down to the game tonight. I hear there may be one or two seats available. And I know where it could be more comfortable to watch the Rockies in baseball. MLB The Show is now available for PlayStation and Xbox consoles at theshow.com. Be caller 4 now. 303-713-1043, and win a copy of MLB The Show 21 for Xbox One. Top 6 is next.